Today we'll be looking at a few backbending in the sequence, but primarily we're looking at opening our chests and getting releasing and tension around the neck and the shoulders. So a lot of arm work we'll do, and that will aid in getting a bit more freedom in your breath and so on. I put at the end of the sequence a quote by Guruji which says, "Begin your asanas by releasing the breath until you find a quieter state of silence and the cells and the self. Inhalation is tension, exhalation is freedom. All movement should be done with exhalation. Exhalation purges the stress and the tensions of the body." So let's keep that in mind. We'll begin simply by doing half uttanasana, with your hands on the wall with the fingers up. So place your hands, spread your arms well, spread your fingers, and press as if you can every knuckle of your hand, spread the palms, spread the skins, and then lengthen back towards your hips so you maximize the space and the extension in the side ribs, armpit, side chest. So feel the side ribs, feel the side chest, and the upper arms. And remember, outer arm down, inner arm up, elbows long and straight. And then go back, press the thumb, press the index finger, press every knuckle. So you extend the whole body. And then step your feet forward. And now turn your hands out. And as you turn your hands out, your upper arm will turn out a little bit more. So connect that outer upper arm, press the thumb into the wall more, because you'll find you'll end up on the little finger side of your hand, and that'll put a lot of weight on the joints of the elbow and the shoulder, and also the wrist, of course. So press the thumb, lengthen back again, side ribs. Even though you're feeling your upper arms, your side ribs, your side chest, still think about what's happening in your legs. Throat quiet, and then just lengthen. Make sure your head isn't heavy. Your head is heavy. It's a heavy part of the body, but don't let it hang off your neck. Make the neck extend. Remember, right to the base of your head, the whole spine extends to there. The sides of the neck lengthen there. And then step forward with one foot just to release. And now you're going to even turn your arms even more. So it's maximum turning of your upper arm as you turn your hands and your arms and your upper arm so your fingers look down towards the floor. And as much as you can do, get the heel of the hand onto the wall. You might find it gets a little bit light because of the tightness in your shoulders and your arms. So press there. If you find you're being really challenged in your shoulders, maybe step forward a little and then bend the elbow and press to open the wrists and then extend back again. So just get that feeling of length extension. If you feel a blocking coming, just watch how you're working your breath. Remember what Guruji says. Inhale and exhale. And then release, step forward. That's worked your upper arm. You've got a feeling, a bit of warmth in your upper arms. If you've got a bit of tension in your neck and your shoulders, there's a good audio, PDF audio that Kate did on arms to get your arms working correctly. So, you know, you could periodically look at that to get the releasing in your neck and shoulders. Stand in Tadasana with your feet slightly apart. Spread your toes, weight your heels. So with your feet a little wider, you can get a little bit more balance here. Take the outer arm back, so feel where you've worked the arms. The scapula connects and holds, so pin the scapula in. Interlock your fingers right into the web. So not halfway down your fingers, right into the web. So feel the web of your fingers. Have your thumb tips touching. And then turn your palms out away from you. And then go to extending and straightening your arms forward so your trunk is, so your arms are parallel to the floor initially. And check if you can get your arms really lengthened, the elbows extending. You might find when you begin to extend your elbows that your wrists begin to flay out. So come back, go to the web. So work as much as you can to keep the length into your fingers, particularly the little finger side of your hand. Lengthen the elbow. Now lift your chest and then quietly go to Urdhva Baddha Ungulasana. Take it up maybe 30 degrees. You might have to adjust. Watch your scapula, hold your scapula. Go up a little bit further, maybe 60 degrees. Come back, weight your heels. Remember, you're doing this in Tadasana. Shake the outer arm, lift your chest. And then just don't take your arms back. Think of all the length and space you got through your side ribs, side chest, when you were doing your half Uttanasana movement, and lift, ascend. Guruji says, ascend to open. And as you do that, you'll find you might get a little bit more space, a little bit more length. And keep your breath quiet. And then release your hands and come down. Opposite interlock. So always do the two interlocks with your fingers, because it extends different parts of your wrist and your forearm and your shoulders. And you always have one dominant arm. Take your arms parallel, lift your chest, scapula, watch your breath. And then go quietly to take your arms high. And you must watch as you take your arms up. If you begin to feel you're beginning to curve in your lumbar, in your lower back, you've got to pause. And adjust your tailbone, your back pelvis down, front waist up. Because those are big muscles that attach to the arm, go right deep into the sacral area. Go fan down your spine. So watch that you don't get the action happening out of your lower back. And then release and bring your arms down. And now turn around, have your mat to the wall. Have your thumbs to the wall, your fingers to the wall, so your hands are turning out like the second one you did in Half Uttanasana, and walk back and do Adho Mukha Svanasana. You'll have more weight on your joints, so you've got to work well with your legs, lift your hips, side ribs lengthening. So see if you can maximize the space, draw your heels up, and as you draw your heels up, work the upper arm, shoulders. Release your head and then ease your heels back and just feel the length you have, feel the extension you have, and then bend your knees and come down. And as you come down into Adho Mukha Virasana. If you find Adho Mukha Virasana difficult on your knees, you can put blankets behind your knees or come up and do Half Uttanasana. Knees are troublesome, we'll have to work on those. Spread your hands, release your head. Quiet breath. And now sit yourself up and do Virasana. So part your feet either side of your hips. And again, if you feel your knees, you can put something behind the back of your knees for a start. Got to work your feet. You can see in the diagram, Kirsten's sitting high to show you how to release your knees if you need to. And now once more do Urdhva Baddha Ungulasana and see if you can get a little bit more length now. Keep the weight back onto your shins and to your buttock bones. So watch you don't begin to lean forward as you take your arms up. Release your head. Don't hold your throat tightly. Just feel your breath. Spread your floating ribs. So watch as you take your arms up, you don't narrow. Stay broad but compact. bring your arms down and change the other interlock. Just be quiet there. Watch you don't drag. Let your head drop forward. Lift your chest. And so you lift your chest. Keep your throat quiet. And as you extend, inhale, exhale, extend a little bit more. And then come down. Okay, so with all that opening in your wrists and your arms and shoulders, you're going to do Adho Mukha Svanasana with the heel of the hand on the floor and the fingers up the wall. You can also do it if you need, you can have a couple of bricks and you can have your hands on bricks and do the same thing. Gives you a little bit more space, but see how you go. So lift your hips, straighten your legs, release the back of the head. You can bend your knees a little, lift up through your arms, swing your chest into your legs so you'll feel your back, the presence of your back body. And then as you go back and begin to extend and open up the back of your knees and the back of your thighs, see your back chest stays sharp, the scapula pinned and the arms lengthened. And then bend your knees and come down. Okay, let's prepare for Parigasana. So kneeling onto your left shin, we'll take our foot to the wall, as you can see. We'll keep on with that lateral extension and the work in the upper arms. So take your arms out to shoulder height. You've got to really work hard to keep the tailbone holding and the outer buttock of your right in this instant firm. And now extend out to the right side. Turn your fingers down towards your toes. And firstly, put your left hand onto your back waist. And use the hand onto the wall, not to lean as if you're pushing the wall away, but to draw back and work that upper arm. And just quietly, just broaden the pelvis from right to left. Not as much as you would do in Trikonasana, but just so that you're not putting heaviness on the joint of the right hip and the right pelvis. Extend your left arm. Now make it straight like in Urdhva Hastasana. Lengthen it. And then as you begin to take it over, if you find a bending coming in your elbow, extend into your fingertips. Keep extending into your fingertips. Keep extending into your fingertips. And you'll find you'll go further than they think you can do. And not even at the last moment, let that elbow go. Extend it even more. And come up. And change over the other side. So prepare for the left side. It's always good to get good alignment. So if you have your knee in line with the edge of your mat, your right knee in line with, and then have your heel in line with the edge of the mat, will give you more, better alignment. Now as you take your arms out to shoulder height, spread right into your fingertips. And before you go off to the left side, turn your arms right at the top, right at the top. That's the source of the action is that upper arm, right at the joint. Turn, so your palms look up to the ceiling. You'll feel your scapula nailed in any amount, so your chest is spreading. And now from your hip, it doesn't come from your waist. It comes from where the leg, your upper leg joins onto your hips. Lift and extend. Turn your fingers down towards your toes. And then work to get that opening in your wrist. Turn your pelvis a little. Don't overdo, otherwise you might jam up into your back. Keep your tailbone held. Extend your right arm and remember about how important it is in this instant to keep the elbows straight. Classically, in the end, it does slightly bend, but at least you keep the extension. So lengthen the elbow, lengthen fingertips. Remember, right to your fingertips you extend, so you don't lose the extension in your forearm or your wrist. And then keep lengthening it. If it begins to fall forward, in front of your face, bring it slightly forward even more, and then swing it around and forward and up and extend it like that. And then come up. Now we'll do a variation of Utkatasana, just to get you in contact more with your legs and your shins and your feet. So probably about three of your own feet away from the wall measure, and then have your buttocks against the wall and your back against the wall. And Utkatasana, they say it's like sitting in a chair. So as you have your back and your pelvis against the wall, begin to bend your knees. So eventually your thighs, if you can, bring them parallel to the floor, but most certainly have your shins perpendicular. That's the important point. Don't have your knees overriding your shins. So if you need to take your feet a little wider, do it. If you need to bring them in, do it, but have your shins perpendicular. So you can maintain that firmness in your base, in your feet. The weight should be on the heels. You can lift your toes and feel how you connect to your thighs. So shins to the knees, knees, thighs to the hips. And so you're very compact and firm around your pelvis, back pelvis down, front pelvis up, chest spreading. And now take your arms forward for Urdhva Hastasana. And extend your arms up in a way they might feel a little bit stuck nearly there. Lift, get the space that you just did when you did your Urdhva Baddha and your Parigasana. Lift more, lift your waist even. Don't just try to lift your shoulders. Lift from your feet. Lift from your feet, waist lifting, arms extending, lift your chest, spread your toes, throat quiet. All of that. And now release and come out. It's a challenge, but it makes you really think about how much you've got to work your legs, even though we've been talking about arms. So you're going to prepare for Pajvottanasana. But today you're going to put your foot up the wall for Pajvottanasana. So right foot up the wall. Have your toes again. Don't just have your toes. Have your heel on the floor like you did when you did Adho Mukha Svanasana. The heel of the hand on the floor and your hands and your fingers up the wall more. So just don't have your toes. So have your foot at a slight slant. Toes up the wall, step your left leg back, and make sure when you step your left leg back, your legs are rolling in, both of them. Your back leg wants to be challenged and it wants to turn out a little, so keep turning it in so your pelvis, Pajvottanasana, your pelvis is even forward. Your fingertips onto the wall initially to create your balance. Tailbone holding, front waist, pelvis to your waist, to your chest, floating ribs spreading. And now begin to walk your hands up the wall. But walk your hands up the wall as if you're going to do Urdhva Hastasana. Don't sink into your arms. Extend. Keep extending. So again, we're looking at maximizing that lateral length in your side ribs and chest. Yes, you will feel your legs. That's a good thing. But make sure your back knee doesn't begin to give in and bend. Make sure your heel stays firm and the front of your left thigh, that's your back leg, is firm, lifting, opening up your left pelvis. So you don't let your pelvis drop into your legs. In Utkatasana, that doesn't happen. In Adho Mukha Svanasana, it doesn't happen. In all your poses, it doesn't happen. Your front waist lifts towards your chest. Your pelvis moves away from your legs and extend. And extend more. Bend your knee a little. Grow a little longer, further. And then straighten your legs. But don't shrink. Keep extending. Now see if you can press on your back heel. Extend your arms. Inhale, come up. So there's an element of a bit of balance here. But you won't lose your balance if you work your feet, your back heel, and particularly your big toe. Let's do the left side. So left foot forward, right foot back. Press the big toe of your left foot. Press the heel of your right foot. You've got your fingertips. You don't, not necessarily your palm, your fingertips. And you use that action in your arms to lift your chest. And now really press through your back heel and begin to walk your arms, your hands up the wall so your side ribs get that lovely lateral extension coming not just through your arms but through your waist, your ribs. Press into your back heel. Spread your toes. Perhaps bend your knees a little, grow a little longer, taller, maximize your space. Watch your breath. And then inhale and exhale. Strain your leg and extend even more. And then step your foot forward. Okay, come up. Bring your feet together. So your Virabhadrasana 1 is what they call the backbend asana. It has all those same elements of Utkatasana. So again, you're going to have your right foot up the wall. Step your left leg back like in Parsvottanasana, but maybe take your leg a little bit further back. Have your fingertips onto the wall. And if you can't manage your fingertips onto the wall, if you feel as if your arms aren't long enough, because don't lean forward. We want you to sit up. You can see in the image how Kirsten is upright. She's not leaning forward into the wall. So you can put a couple of bricks in underneath your hands if you find your arms feel not long enough. But get the spreading of your chest, working of your arms, and begin to bend your right leg. And as you begin to bend your right leg, again, the shin holds to your knee, just like you did in Utkatasana against the wall. Shin holds to the knee. And you probably won't be able to bend a lot because you're getting that length through the back of the heel and the Achilles. But it's enough for you to feel that strength and stability in your hips and your knees. Lift your waist, lift your chest. Be tall. Now go to your back leg and make that impression on your back leg even more. If your heel is beginning to lift, press the heel away. Maybe turn your heel in slightly down, but it doesn't matter if your heel doesn't get absolutely to the floor as long as you're extending it to the floor. And then come up and have a go on the other side. So left foot forward. Right leg back. Just be patient with it. You get that tremendous opening in your pelvis with this pose. So step it back enough. You'll find if your legs are too narrow, you'll feel a bit jammed. So just play with it a little. You'll know if you've gone back, you're too close. If you've gone back too far, it's not a concern. But your heel may lift. But press the heel away. And then spread your chest, work your arms so your chest stays open, pin your scapula. All these elements, all these principal actions of stabilizing the outer body, the framework, will allow your inner body to release. Now, see if you can get a little bit more length from below your knee of the back leg, the right leg through the right pelvis lift. And you've got to use that lifting, that holding of your outer hips and the perineum and that organic thinking. Your organs of the pelvis are probably quite heavy, so lift towards your chest and then straighten your leg. Good. Okay, we're going to do it again. But this time you're going to extend your arms up like in Urdhva Hastasana. And again, it's that action tremendously through your legs, yes, but the action in your arms which will make your pose lighter and quieter. So right foot to the wall, left leg back. Press on your back heel. Urdhva Hastasana, big movement in your arms. And now as you begin to bend that right knee, back heel, back thigh stays firm, but your arms extend even further. Extend them into the space beyond the space of them. Lift more as you bend. So get that action in your arms to make the lift, to make the lightness and quietness come. Inhale, come up. And bring your hands down. So when you're coming up, if you felt yourself getting a little bit unstable, a little bit wobbly, you've got to question whether or not you lost your base, your big toe, your back heel. Sounds simple, but keep that thinking going, because then your mental body will begin to send messages, oh, I'm unstable, oh, I'm going to fall. You've got to let the mind and the breath come into it and keep the focus. Take your left leg forward, take your right leg back. Take the left leg forward. At your base, you're stable. Reach your heel. Urdhva Hastasana. Now press on your back heel and bend your leg, bend your front knee. Be tall in your arms. Big movement in your arms. Eyes quiet. Just lift your eyes a little and see how it lifts your chest. Inhale, exhale, come up. Now you're going to prepare eventually to do either Viparita Dandasana over the chair or Pavottanasana. And Kirsten has showed, if you haven't got a regular yoga chair in your house, you can put two of your dining chairs together, put a bit of support over them, and it works quite well to do Dvipada Viparita Dandasana. If you get any tension in your neck when you go over, you can always give it a little bit of support. And also with Pavottanasana, you can have the three chairs. So if you need a little bit more support underneath your back, you can always use it. But before you do your Dvipada Viparita Dandasana, do Marichyasana 3, where you bring your chair next to the wall. Standing on your left leg, take your right leg up. And then turn towards your wall. Take your left hand on the outside of your right knee and take your right hand away and just give yourself a quiet inhaling, exhaling, turning. So you keep the length in the space, and that's important when you're doing backbending, is not to let that tight area around the top of your, and then release, turn the chair around and do the other side, is to allow that tight band that often comes around the lumbar and the top of the pelvis to contract too much. It still has to think of being extending. And then as you turn, lift your waist, keep the space, and then release. Okay, see how you go, and prepare for Viparita Dandasana over the chair. Make sure that you have enough support for your tailbone. So that might mean you might need a little bit of extra support. If you're doing the classic, just have just below your scapula off the chair. You can hold onto the sides of the chair, or you can extend your arms. Keep the space. If you're doing Pavottanasana, again, you can have your arms out to the side or hanging down towards the floor. Just watch that you can maintain the space around your chest, the throat quiet. jaw releasing. Just feel that gradual quietening, the floating ribs broadening, the chest spreading. And again, make sure you can stay connected to your arms and your shoulders, because that will not only allow your chest to spread and open, but it'll get that space and that length through your lower abdomen as well. Just eyes quiet. Extend your legs roll in. And most of the back bending you'll do at this level, always the legs are turning in. The backs of the legs rolling out. Outer arms sharp. Throat quiet. And watch as you stay a little while. You don't get any tension in your throat. Throat quietens. If you feel a little bit of tension in your throat coming, you might find that your mental body is becoming a little agitated. So you might have to swallow a little, or maybe you might need a bit more head support. Just a few more moments. Just quiet inhaling and exhaling. Feel any tension in your lower back? Question whether or not you've lost the connection to your legs or your tailbone. Or maybe next time you do it, you might need to bring your feet up a little higher. So take your feet up a little higher if you're feeling that, or bend your knees and put your feet on the floor. And then bend your knees. And just quietly release and come out. Feel the presence of your back chest now. After that, okay, and then sit up on your chair. We'll do Bhadravajasana to the right. And even though Kirsten stepped through the regular chair, you can just stay sitting on your chair and turn to the right hand behind, left hand on the outside of your right thigh. And again, like you did in Marichyasana, use this extra height that you have in the chair to get more space and lift in your spine. And just go quietly. After backbending, you don't push. You just let your chest spread. You let your chest release. Inhale, exhale, and turn. And then come back and do the left side. Inhale, exhale, turn. Throat quiet, jaw releasing, and then inhale, come up. Good. Okay, put one of your chairs against the wall. And then have your hands either side of the seat of the chair and walk back to Adho Mukha Svanasana. Just to give a bit more length, a bit more tremendous extension, not just to your side ribs, but to the whole of your back, right through your spine, right through to your hips. And because your hands are up so high, you'll get a lot of length in your front body. So keep the groin soft, spreading the back of the knees. And then walk forward into Uttanasana. Just rest there for a minute. And then walk back again in Adho Mukha Svanasana. Okay, and then you're going to come to Urdhva Mukha Svanasana. So again, you've got that height and that lift and that length. So swing forward, lift up through your upper arms. Watch you don't lift your shoulders so your neck shortens. Bend your elbows if you need to. Roll the upper arm back and bring your chest forward. and tremendous work on your legs. If your knees bend, you'll feel your back. Lift your chest, lift your chest. And if you need to get more lift by walking your feet in, do that. And then press back again into Adho Mukha Svanasana and get the length. And just quieten there, release your head. Urdhva Mukha Svanasana again. Upper arm, chest spreading, legs holding, tailbone holding. Quiet, watch your breath, watch your breath. Adho Mukha Svanasana. Get that length. Release your toes. Because when you come into Urdhva Mukha Svanasana, your toes are still forward. We're just doing toes forward. So release your toes, spread your toes. So when you come into Urdhva Mukha Svanasana, watch you don't grip your toes. Urdhva Mukha Svanasana. Upper arm, chest, outer arm, back, front pelvis. Can you feel that length in your front pelvis that you had when you were doing Virabhadrasana 1? Can you feel the lift? It's about lifting. It's about not sinking. Adho Mukha Svanasana. And then walk your feet in and then come up. Okay, we'll do Setubandh Shavasana with your feet on the seat of the chair. So it's about getting space and keeping space, so we'll allow the chest to stay broad and your breath to stay quiet. So be on the floor, put your feet up on the seat of the chair. Hold the legs of the chair, and depending on your chair, if your hands don't reach the legs of the chair, put a belt around. It's just to stabilize the chair for you as well. So outer arm down, side chest lifting. Work your feet. Remember, feet, shins to the knees, thighs to the pelvis, tailbone, lift your chest. The more that you can connect your legs to your pelvis, the more your chest will lift. Setubandh Shavasana. So lift your buttocks, lift your hips. And yes, you will feel that extension through your thighs now. So that's why we've got to really think about working on our Virasana to get that length in the front of the thighs and the front of the pelvis. And then release and come down. Off you go again. Lift your buttocks, lift your hips. Spread your toes. Lift your toes. See how it connects to your thighs. See if you can lift the soles of your feet. See how it even further moves the shin to the knees, the thighs. The important basic principles for your more extensive back bending. But look how it lifts your chest. Hold your tailbone. Don't let that sinking happening in your tailbone. And then release and come down. We're going to do one more time. But watch as you go up, you don't jam your chin into your throat so you feel like I sound. You've got to keep your throat quiet. Setubandh Shavasana. Hold tall. Can you improve on your upper leg? Can you improve on your tailbone? You've got to keep connecting, teaching. You can't just listen to words. You've got to teach. You've got to keep teaching how your thighs open, how your heels are, how your chest lifts. Is your throat quiet? Release your jaw. And then outer arm down, tailbone. One more lift. And then come down. Okay, move yourself slightly back away from your chair. And even though in the visual, Kirsten's doing it with a brick, you're going to do it without a brick. So you're going to feel the difference now. So you've got your feet on the floor, your outer arms down. You can hold the sides of your mat and press down, curl and press down the upper arm. Setubandh Shavasana. So you can see when you do it with a chair, you've got a lot of space, you've got a lot of length. And so we've got to find that out. We've got to find it in our bodies and how to lift and how to open. And then release and come down. Don't feel your knees. If you feel your knees when you've got your feet on the floor, take your feet a little wider, but not. It's really important when you lift up, you don't let your knees drop out like you do in Baddha Konasana. You've got to keep the thinking happening in your feet, particularly the big toe edge and the weight on your heels. One more time, lift your buttocks, lift your hips. Quiet breath. And then release and come down. Okay, just to release your back, we'll do a Supta Padangusthasana. So have your feet against the wall, bend your right leg quietly. And when you bend your right leg, hold your knee bent and just release quietly. Inhale, exhale. Draw your shin down. Just release any tension that might be around your back and your buttocks. And then do the other leg. Do your left leg. Right leg straight. Just be quiet with it. Just watch how you can be quiet. Because when we're doing our asana, a lot of the time we can't imagine how quiet we can be, but you can actually be quiet. Just find your breath. And find that inhalation, exhalation, releasing quietness. And then release. Okay, right leg up. Take the strap around your right foot. And even if you can hold your big toe, use a strap. So you keep your leg perpendicular. This is about releasing your hips and your back and your any tension in your abdomen and so on. So just have your right leg perpendicular and hold firmness in the strap. Still working and thinking your arms. You can bend your elbows a little wider to bring your leg a little forward, but it's not about a Supta Padangusthasana that you do before backbending. It's Supta Padangusthasana that you do after backbending. And then release and do the other leg. So take your left leg up. Work your right leg. Extend your foot into the strap. And just inhale, exhale, bend your elbows wide. And just hold it, release the back of the knees. Because in backbending like we've done, your hamstring contracts. Your thigh muscles extend, but your hamstrings contract. So it's important after this that you get that length back into your hamstrings. So that's why it's important not to just do backbending or just not to do forward bending. You've got to get the balance between the two and release your leg. Take your right leg up. Now have support underneath your right thigh because again, this is about releasing and quietening. Turn your leg out, press your foot into the strap and go out to the right. And as you go out to the right, just stay thinking, what am I doing with my arm? What am I doing with my scapula? Keep my right chest spreading towards my left. So you keep your breath very present. Release your lower abdomen, your pelvis. You might bend your knee, broaden your pelvis, straighten your leg. Inhale, come up. And do your other side. Take your left leg up. Turn your left leg out. And then go off to the left. And when you find your outer thigh of your left, just touching the support, maintain that holding. So your outer muscles stay firmly holding, supporting your joints, lower pelvis broad, chest opening. inhale, come up. Okay. So the last one we'll do will be a shoulder stand. Now, some of you might be working on the classical shoulder stand, so you prepare yourself to do that. If you're doing chair shoulder stand, set that up. Or if you haven't got the right equipment, you can do Viparita Karani. But don't have too much of the support jamming into your kidney area. Make sure it's quiet. So if you're going into classical shoulder stand, up you go. Make sure your hands are supporting your back chest. Your legs are rolling in. Tailbone's holding. Your inner heels extending. Just make sure you've got adequate support on your shoulders and your neck. So you're not on your back, but you're right on the tips of your shoulders. You can always bring your legs into Halasana and adjust your arms and shoulders if you need to. Your eyes are quiet. And some of you might be just beginning your classic shoulder stand. So go quietly with it. You might have a chair in front of you and or your coffee table or your sofa or whatever. Come down into a Halasana. If you feel as if you're beginning to get heavy, come to a Halasana. Adjust your arms, adjust your back. Adjust your hands. And feel as you bring your hands onto your back ribs, it moves the inner chest towards your eyes. And then go up again. And you might find you're a little bit more lifted and stable. Tongue releasing. So watch. Remember what Guruji said about your breath. Release your breath until you find a quieter state of silence. Exhalation purges the stress and the tensions of the body. And then come down. Of course, if you always may want to stay a little longer in Shavasana, which you can, of course. And so if you're coming out of Shavasana or Viparita Karani, you can lie yourself out for a short shavasana, or longer if you want to stay, of course. So some of you might need something underneath the back of your knees. If you feel a little bit of tension in your lower back, take your arms out to the side. Your throat quiet. And then gradually feel the presence of your breath. The exhalation releasing. Your inhalation. embracing the whole body. It's like it envelops the whole body, your inhalation. And now it's not creating tension. It's so quiet. And then exhaling. And I'm going to leave you in your Shavasana. May the grace of yoga be with you all. And thank you to Guruji. And then keep up with your practice and be well. Namaste.